T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WIP Morning Show. Thursday morning in the Delaware Valley, or what's left of it. Everybody pretty much hide out their homes. They're in the quarantine. But one man has braved the elements to join us this morning. The iconic former general manager of your Philadelphia 76ers, Billy King.
Good morning.
Billy, thank you for coming in, although I think that gratitude will end very shortly because I'm not enjoying his take, Al, on Malcolm Jenkins and some of the other stuff that's been going on. We got a great show for you today. I mean, a great show. 7 o'clock, we're all dying to hear what he's got to say. No one's heard it yet. Ray Dittinger. How does Ray Dittinger feel about Malcolm Jenkins within 24 hours of being released by the Eagles, signs with his old team, the Saints, for interesting dollars? I'm not saying great. I'm not saying bad, because there's people on both sides of that issue. Interesting deal by Malcolm within 24 hours. And Billy's take of that will blow you away, because I didn't even think that was legal. Billy thinks that there was some fancy dancing going on there. But we'll get to that one second. At 8 o'clock, Al, I'm dying to find out what Tom McCarthy's doing. Because what's going on down in Clearwater?
It's the busiest time in the world for
him,
usually.
If he stayed in Clearwater, he will not be checking in with us at 8. Because he'll still have a hangover. They don't think there's a problem.
No.
Al, spring break is going on full force in Florida.
Well, they put the brakes on the beaches.
No, I have sounders. You're not going to believe what those kids are doing out here.
Well, they're upset.
Those kids think they're going to live forever.
Yeah, they found out quick.
All right, so you're saying to me the party ended?
Yeah, they told them. That's why they went bonkers.
I still think they're doing it. I don't think there's been any less alcohol consumption since they were told to tone it down.
Well, yeah, well.
All right. Anyway.
Why do you think they're so mad?
Elliot Shore Parks is checking in. I don't think he knows
yet. He doesn't know yet.
But he will know it in the 8 o'clock hour. Al, he lashed out at the Jenkins departure.
No.
And when somebody does that, I got to hear what they got. And at 9 o'clock, G. Cobb, Al. G. Cobb made a bold prediction, latter stages of last season. Guaranteed that Chris Harris would be signed or traded for here. Chris Harris yesterday signed, wasn't here. Although there is
a good one.
All right, yeah, let me just start before a lot of people are just waking up.
Yeah.
And why don't I start with the good news? Yeah. I don't think anybody would argue this is good news. Rhea, why don't you tell us what the Eagles did after midnight last night?
Our favorite ESPN reporter, Josina Anderson, reported that the Eagles have a framework in place with the Detroit Lions to get cornerback Darius Slayton, Pro Bowler.
All right, that's the great news, because he would be better than any cornerback they've had in a long time. The not necessarily great news is they traded for him, so we have no idea what they gave up. And they are in the midst of trying to get a mega 3-year deal with them, which is going to cost mucho moolah. So stay tuned for that. We're going to assume some information comes out today on that. And then we'll find out what the price was to get a quality quarterback. However, before we get to all that, I would like to begin, because there is, Al, there is a virus right now infiltrating the Philadelphia Eagles. And there's a name for it. I'm going to give it a name. The name of the virus is Jim Schwartz. Right? Because Jim Schwartz, Al, his fingerprints are all over what's going on right now.
Yeah.
And it ain't good. All right? Jim Schwartz, I'm going to go right to Billy with this. Jim, he's a defensive coordinator.
Yes.
But it sounds like he's getting his way on just about whatever they're doing personnel-wise through the first 3 days of free agency.
Well, I think they're giving him some leeway to bring in the players that fit his system.
All right, but you were a GM. How much input did you take from the coach and the assistant coaches in making your decisions?
When it came to the draft, very little.
Okay.
Because I leaned on my scouts more for that because they've seen the guys play more and we felt that was their decision. When it came for trades, I would talk to the head coach. If the assistant coach had some knowledge that I could use, I would go to them. But generally, in a trade, it was the head coach I talked to because I wanted to make sure how he would put him in the system.
Well, here's the problem with the Eagles. The head coach is not entirely the head coach. That when it comes to defense, the head coach is Jim Schwartz. Yeah. And I think what we learned, we wanted him fired.
Yeah.
Did we not? Yeah. Were we not lobbying to get rid of Jim Schwartz? I feel like he was a failed head coach who was an overrated defensive coordinator. Do I have to remind everybody, there's no Super Bowl here if we were relying on Jim in that Super Bowl 2 years ago. His team gave up 613 off defensive yards.
Yes.
Right? That is the worst performance in the history of the Super Bowl. His team won because the Eagles matched them.
Nick Foles.
Foles was on a magic streak. By the way, he got traded.
Again.
But apparently he can only play here.
The documentary on his career is going to be fascinating.
It's like no other career I've ever seen. And we will get to Nick later. But the bottom line on what went on yesterday is Jim Schwartz got what he wanted. Darius Slayout was a rookie when Schwartz was in Detroit. Mm-hmm. This is how he does it. How do you think they got Darby a few years ago? Darby
Buffalo.
Was in Buffalo when Schwartz was in Buffalo.
Nigel Bradham, right? Yeah.
Jim Schwartz is making the moves.
Malcolm was not one of his
guys. Now, listen, I am not here to tell you that that was a bad move because Slay is very good. But I'm going to go to you with this. Since I don't know what they're paying Slay nor what they gave up for Slay, Billy, how do you know if it's a good deal? How am I supposed to tell?
Well, when you get the details, I think you'll be able to find out. But the one thing, I heard somebody talk about this, with this coronavirus, a lot of teams are signing players or training players that are familiar with their system, the coach's system before, because now you're not going to have OTAs.
I know, but Schwartz was doing this before the virus.
Yeah, it was.
He always does this. It's like, you know, why do they even analyze other players if they end up going with guys they know? That always annoys me. But I'm not bitching about Slay. That's nice. You know why it's nice? Because they hadn't done anything. I invite everybody out to go over to Bleeding Green Nation's website today and click on the headline recapping what the Eagles did on the first day of 2020 NFL free agency. Comprehensive breakdown by Brandon Lee Gout. All right, I'll show you what it and then
what the hell happened?
Brandon Lee Gout. No, I thought it didn't load the page. No, it's blank. They didn't do anything.
He's very clever. Oh.
Even the Slay deal came after midnight, so it was the second day. Right?
Okay.
But anyway, I'm waking up. I don't know what's happened since I went to bed, and I went, oh, good, comprehensive breakdown. Nothing there. Anyway, but I want to get to Jenkins because I'm going to say I don't lie to people. I'm going to tell you straight up. I have no handle on the way the people feel in this city about Malcolm Jenkins. I thought I did. I took a ton of calls on it yesterday, even in the middle of the virus, and all but one caller was irate that they had let one of the great team leaders of all time leave the Philadelphia Eagles. But then we did the internet poll, and 55% did not agree with it, which means 45% did.
Kind of a split, yeah.
Now, to this moment, it's the next day. I've had a whole day to process that. Blew my mind. Blew my mind. Malcolm Jenkins, beloved in this town, no?
Yeah, but I think a lot of people, a lot of fans now are very smart.
Money-wise.
About money and about salary caps. And they try to – you can never think you're better than a player. but you always think you could be a general manager.
Yeah.
And it's something that you could actually think you could do. Hey, nobody can go out and play.
Oh, no, no. I guarantee you, if I was a GM,
none of us,
when Billy was there, they would have won two or three
games. But we all think, and I believe a lot of people put themselves in that position and say, right. Yeah, I can understand why they did that.
All right. But I think Billy's going to give you that take in a minute. But why don't we start with the ESPN's New Orleans Saints broadcaster. He represents them and reporter on ESPN, Mike Triplett. And here's where he says what happened.
The Saints are trying to right one of their greatest wrongs in free agency. They're close to a deal to bring back safety Malcolm Jenkins, who went to three Pro Bowls with the Philadelphia Eagles after he left New Orleans in 2014. When Sean Payton confirmed the news, he said, "Should have never let him go to begin with." The Saints know all there is to know about what they like about Jenkins, both from when he was here and when they had to go against him. Payton has long talked about the chess match of game planning against Jenkins. They also love his leadership, which will be key because he'll now be mentoring two young promising safeties in Marcus Williams and C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Wow. I mean, it sounds like a nice deal for the Saints. He was getting $7.6 million his final year here. He refused to report at that number. He got guaranteed $16 million 2 years, which is not a lot more than the $7.6 he would have gotten in 1 year. He gets another year guaranteed with the opportunity to make up to $35 million over the next
Players
4 years.
Players rarely get more than the 2 years.
I
so
know,
it's the 2 years at $16.5 million.
I evaluated it. I looked at it, and I went, he did great. It didn't even take him 24 hours. He had another deal. Billy, you looked very carefully at it. This is what you did for a living. Did he improve himself financially in a dramatic way?
I don't think he did. I mean, he got 2 years guaranteed money.
Right.
And I think he got to a place where maybe he wanted to be. But financially, it's not much more. Maybe the Eagles weren't willing to go beyond the 1 year he had left remaining. So it's not a big financial move on his part, but he does get the 2 years guarantee, and hopefully that he plays well, they'll keep him beyond that.
All right. Well, let me give you Sean Payton talking about this because he reiterated what Mike Triplett just said. Here it is.
You know, I've said this, and I just said it recently. You know, probably one of the bigger mistakes we've made, and I think you got to be able to look at him and say, how did that happen? But letting him out of the building certainly wasn't a smart decision.
All right. And guess what we just did, Rhea? We
let
just
him.
Let him out of the building. We just let him out of the building. Now he's 32,
yeah,
not 27,
yeah.
but 26, I guess, when the Eagles got him. But excuse me, what price leadership, Billy? What price for that?
Yeah, but sometimes you can – yeah, this is the toughest job for GM is when you have to make that decision to let a guy go, that it does give you leadership in the locker room, things like that, but you got to look at it like I said, it's a hard cap. In basketball, you could go over the cap to re-sign young guys at the Bird Rule. But when you have a hard cap, you got to make tough decisions. And I think this is one – where they said, okay, you got to figure out what are they paying Slay to come in? What are they going to have to pay him?
Well, they didn't know that when they let this guy go.
But they probably did.
They probably had an idea. You're also telling me that Jenkins knew at the time he was released, he already had the makings of a deal in New Orleans?
Yeah, I mean, because you can tell by them saying there's a big mistake. They knew they missed him. So when agents, they represent a lot of guys. So they could have another guy on that team in the Saints, and they could have been talking to him like, well, if Jenkins ever comes available, we'll want him.
So they had the parameters of the deal before the Eagles released.
Yeah, I mean, you, GM, you're not supposed to do it, but you talk to agents, so you sort of know
the
what
combine.
It's going
to be. They all talk at the combine.
That interests me.
And you know what the deal's going
because
to be.
Because I did think it was remarkable. It took less than a day.
But think about in the NBA. Yeah. Free agency starts like what you can sign guys like July 1st.
Right.
And all of a sudden within like 12:01 or 2 a.m., deals are done.
But let me bring this back around because now the speculation is, all right, somewhere in the course of last season, probably toward the latter stages of it, something went on internally in the Eagles organization that alienated Jenkins from the higher-ups and vice versa.
Oh, yeah, I don't think there was a lot of love lost between those two.
And now I bring back Jim Schwartz, who to me, is a miserable guy. I couldn't get along with Jim Schwartz, Al, for one segment on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand the guy, all right? He just emits a Napoleonic arrogance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm tiny, but I'm powerful.
Okay.
And I think he did this move. I think it came down to, if we need more money, get rid of Jenkins. We don't need him around. Jenkins was second-guessing Jim Schwartz at the in the latter stages of the season.
Like we
wasn't
were.
It public, Al, that he was saying they needed to simplify the defense? Wasn't it public
so
that
injuries,
he was telling players on the field what to do? It was so a lot of them were so inexperienced.
Well, they were off the street.
That Jim Schwartz could have taken that as an affront to his power. Hello?
Well, I suppose, Billy? But there were a lot of new players on the field. Yeah.
But I think Schwartz is power hungry, and he didn't like that there was a powerful guy on that defense.
I think ultimately.
I think the players had more admiration and respect for Malcolm Jenkins than they did for Jim Schwartz. Your thoughts?
I think that happens a lot. But
I know. I'm just looking at my case.
Yeah, but that doesn't interest me.
But
I mean,
me.
You have guys that are leaders there, but I do think that I don't think a guy ruins his defense for that. Like, I can't think that Schwartz really thought he was that important.
Al, you think coaches don't do that? It's what happened in Houston.
Well, that
Bill
guy,
O'Brien
that,
did
nuts.
Not like DeAndre Hopkins, right. Didn't like the control he had over him and got rid of him.
All right, this is I really want to get some calls. Basically, this is not the question of the day, but this is really a question for you guys. All right, you got Slay.
Yeah.
You lost Jenkins. Worth doing it? Is that a good deal? Ignoring whatever it costs and all that stuff. Slay in, Jenkins out. Are you happy with that?
I am going for the long haul, yes.
Billy King, yeah. Rhea.
This, I almost feel not on the same level. I almost feel like Doc Holliday and Cliff Lee.
Yeah.
The day you got Doc Holliday, you lost Cliff Lee.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have had both of them. You know, I'm greedy.
That's a great comparison.
I'm greedy
that
way.
I accept that. Al, we in the plus side or the negative side?
No, you're still negative.
I think we're negative,
we're not
too.
Presumably not done.
Are they going to get any help for their quarterback?
Who knows? All right, let me open this up. And I got terrific prizes today. And, in an effort to bring a little positivity to a horrendous situation for everybody listening, Al, what people or companies are benefiting from the fact that basically America is quarantined right now? Who's benefiting from this? Name me some. You early people got a great shot at this, and you got a wide open board right now. So give me somebody or something that is literally profiting from this horrendous moment in time in America's history. Al Morgani.
Gold.
No.
It doesn't have to do with you.
Give the number. Oh, you're not going to do this another day, are you?
Well, I thought you were asking me a question.
No, that's the question for the prizes. Gold.
Ask and answer.
Just give your job is to give the number.
215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. Even they wrote it down wrong.
I know they did. Just read the first one. The first one's right.
There's nine numbers. 215-592-9494.
215, what Al just said. Get in now, you'll be on immediately.
You put a big thing in front of us with the wrong numbers.
Al, all day yesterday, you missed the cue.
What? Oh, yeah.
First time today, you blurred out the answer to the contest instead of doing the thing. I mean, really, yeah.
What?
The more I see of you, the less I think you're essential personnel.
Sequential.
Sequential. That's not the term they're using. WIP Sports Time 617.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.